Welcome back. This is Debbie Whitlock, and you're listening to Femme Finance on the I'm Thankful Network. Joining me right now is Stacey Romberg, attorney at law. She's a local Seattle attorney in practice for, dare I say, 20 years now?
23.
23 years. She started when she was five, so, you know, she was a child prodigy.
Smart.
Yeah, I know.
She's very smart. And, you know, excitedly, I'm happy to share with the listeners again that she was once again named for the third year in a row as a five-star wealth manager in the estate planning category at Seattle Magazine. And this award is based... Thank you. Excellent. Yes, yes, yes. Take a bow. Stacey Romberg, take a bow. The award is based in part on integrity and client service. So welcome back to Femme Finance, Stacey. So last year when you visited us, you and I had a robust conversation about the important pieces of personal estate plans. And today you and I are going to tackle the always exciting topic of, you know, what's been called by some as the most significant tax bill in nearly a decade. So I want to start from the highest level. Back on December 17th, 2010, President Obama signed this piece of legislation. And there were four main components. So for people joining us today that aren't familiar with the overall legislation, from a high level, can you talk about the four components of the bill?
Absolutely. Now, the bill is called the Tax Relief, Unemployment Insurance Reauthorization and Job Creation Act of 2010. But please don't worry, I will not be referring to that name during the entire presentation.
Now,
today.
Did they come up with an acronym for it? You know, they have an acronym for everything. There was the FACT Act a few years ago, and there were several, you know, the Credit Card Reform Act, and, you know.
Yeah, actually, a lot of people call it TR-210.
TR-210. All
hey,
right.
I
that
like
sounds
that.
Very Star Wars. I like that. All right. So TR-210. Sorry, I'm derailing you.
Well, let me talk about the four main components.
Back on track.
First of all, there is an across-the-board extension of President Bush's income tax cuts for the next 2 years. And otherwise, those tax cuts would have expired January 1st, so the top income tax rate would have increased from 35% up to 39.6%.
Yikes.
The second component is a $57 million extension of the emergency unemployment benefits. And this program had already expired in November of last year. But now, because of TR-210, these benefits are extended through 2011. The third component is, which will impact pretty much all of us, is a one-year reduction in individual Social Security payroll tax rate. And that reduces that rate from 6.2% to 4.2%. And it allows workers to keep a maximum of $2,136 extra this year. And for those of us, I know Debbie and I are definitely included in this category, people that pay self-employment tax, we'll also see a reduction in that tax this year from 12.4% on self-employment earnings down to 10.4%.
Okay.
And the last component, which I know is going to be one of the primary focuses that we're going to talk about today, is a two-year reduction in the estate tax, which exempts individual estates that are worth up to $5 million.
Okay.
And I also wanted to comment just, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on this today, but there were other things that this bill did. And for example, it contained tuition tax credits.
Right.
A lot of people are talking about the new tax incentives for businesses.
Yes.
And businesses are now allowed to deduct 100% of their equipment purchases in this tax year, which is a big deal.
Right.
And another thing that it did is that it continued the tax rates on long-term capital gains and qualified dividends. So they remain at 15% over the next 2 years, and otherwise they would have experienced an increase.
Okay, good. So, you know, one of the things that I want to just point out to the listeners here is, you know, as they, you know, how does this affect me and what can I do? Because a lot of people, I think, you and I, Stacey, have talked about this, where people, there are some people listening that may be hearing the words estate tax, and they're going, well, I don't have an estate tax. This doesn't affect me. However, in this piece of legislation, there are so many layers to it that most people, in terms of the legislation, are going to be affected, if not all people in the United States will be affected. And I want to point out a couple of things. The point that you made that talked about the reduction in individual Social Security payroll tax rate, what you stated here is that it will allow a U.S. worker to keep a maximum of $2,136 extra in 2011 in their pocket. So this is one of the times where, you know, some of you may, now that you've gone through almost a full month of payroll, if you will, you may start to feel like you have a little extra money coming in, correct?
Exactly. And that's sort of the economic theory behind this, is that we're all going to go to the mall.
Right, exactly. Now, I, on the other hand, am not going to encourage you to go to the mall. I'm going to encourage you to do two things.
Oh,
one,
man.
I know, exactly.
That's no fun.
Who invited the wet blanket today?
Right?
My suggestion to you is going to be, with this extra $2,136, is that A, if you are finding yourself in debt due to the last couple of years and what that has created for you, that you strategically take that amount, divide it in 12, and start paying it towards your debt. This is free found money to you. This is not to me, and this is me sharing, you know, just kind of an idea with you here. You know, this is a way that you can make a significant impact potentially in your overall debt, reducing what you have and ultimately clearing up what you also then have to spend and invest. The other thing that you may do with the money is you may make an IRA contribution, you know, for the year. So if you haven't been contributing to your IRA for the last couple of years, this may be another place that you can do it too. Though I know our favorite uncle, that would be Uncle Sam, is hoping you take that money and you go right to the mall. So we'll see who wins this conversation at the end of the year. Okay, so we talked about the four components of the bill, Stacey. What about, give us some background on the bill. What really is making it so significant to Americans?
Well, this bill passed during the what they call the lame duck session of Congress. And that's before Republicans took the majority in the House and Senate Republicans picked up six seats during his term. And what Obama was really concerned about is he thought that when the new Congress took hold, that potentially there would be a bipartisan standoff in terms of the tax package. And if it hadn't passed, virtually all of us would have seen some sort of a tax increase when the Bush tax cuts expired January 1st. And in fact, the average American would have seen a $3,000 tax increase, which is quite a bit. And President Obama was also concerned about the expiration of the unemployment benefits. And I think rightly so, during a recession. First of all, because these people need the money. And second, because unemployment benefits are widely considered to stimulate the economy, which makes sense because they're generally spent immediately when the people receive their checks. So as a result of this, Obama and the Democrats decided that it was worth it to get this bill through to make two key compromises. And what those compromises were is, first of all, everybody agreed that we should extend the income tax cuts for the middle class. But the Republicans wanted everybody to get a tax cut, even the people that earned over $250,000 a year. And even though the Democrats didn't like that, they agreed to that as part of the compromise. And the second key part of the compromise is this increase in the estate tax exemption, which Republicans liked and Democrats did not. And Obama successfully sold it, despite the reluctance, particularly of the House Democrats. And he described it, you know, as a package of tax relief. He said it'll protect our middle class, grow the economy, and create jobs. But it was a super controversial package nonetheless. And the top Democratic leaders of both the House and the Senate were notably absent during the signing ceremony.
Right. Now, there were also some existing tax cuts that are going to be allowed to expire. Can you tell us what those are?
Yes. And some of these may be familiar to some of the listeners. One of those was something called Build America Bonds. Yeah. And that's a program that created federal subsidies for state and local borrowing. The second was the popular sales tax deductions that we all had for the new cars and the trucks. Third, there was a property tax deduction for people who don't itemize their tax returns, and that's now going away. And even though the unemployment employed people got their benefits extended, unfortunately, they are going to there is an exemption from taxes for the first $2,400 in their unemployment benefits that they've historically had, and they're not going to have that anymore.
Okay, good. So now let's talk about the public reaction. What have Americans said about this?
Well, according to the Washington Post, 69% of Americans do support the overall package, but only 11% support all four components of the deal. And I have to say, I'm pretty much with that 69% because I think that the overall package was necessary and good, but I don't support all four components of it either.
Right, right. Yeah, I think it was, you know, it's always, you know, that delicate dance where you're, you know, from a government standpoint and a legislative standpoint, you know, you... I don't know many government officials right now that are dancing in the world of they're 100% behind anything. And I think that that's where a lot of us as Americans are, too, economically, is, you know, there are pieces of it that we all agree with. And then there are pieces of it that just really stink and irk us. Some of it may be, you know, attributable to your political party. Some of it may just be, you know, philosophically, you just think it was a bad idea. It's just a delicate place that we're in right now. Decisions are being made, like you said, in an attempt to stimulate the economy and in ways, you know, creative ways to do that without necessarily printing more money to do that, or, you know, lowering interest rates again. I mean, this is a very delicate, and I'm hoping we can get a couple of, I know this is going to sound frightening to some of you, but there's a couple of economists that I follow, and I'm working to get them on the program here to talk a little bit about this delicate balance that we're in right now, and this careful place of, you know, interest rate environment, the actual, you know, monetary policy of the United States, and how that will affect us going forward over the course of the next 2 years, because it can be really overwhelming and quite confusing to people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's great.
All right, Stacey, we're going to take a break. And when we come back here, I want to talk with you now about the exciting topic of, how it's going to impact the deficit, because I think that that's one of the key questions that I've heard in my community people asking. So this is Debbie Whitlock, and you're listening to Femme Finance on the I'm Thankful Network.